Right before we started, I saw, and Nick just obviously doesn't realise either, but I saw this strike of lightning come down. I mean, and it was suddenly and quickly. And what we sung about this morning is fire. And it was like, before, sort of as we just started, it was like this bolt of lightning just came down so suddenly. And it was like the suddenly of God. And it didn't just strike the earth, it struck under the earth to raise up and set those on fire. But it wasn't only that, I also saw, you know, we were singing about filled with Holy Spirit. And I saw a petrol thing. You know, the pumps, you've got the thing. And it was like, oh, I normally think of water. And I know that we shared that petrol goes boom when it's set on blaze. And he was wanting to fill us full of the combustible, the powerful. But lots of us were sat with our petrol tank top on. And he said, I want you to trust me. And I want you to take off the petrol tap. Because while ever you keep the top on, we can't put the petrol in. And I saw that incredible combustible whoosh, an incredible whoosh of God, the whoosh of Holy Spirit. And you know, the whoosh of God and the Holy Spirit will burn off the stuff that we want rid of. And it's going to be the only way we need to take off our top. And let him fill us with that combustible burns off the rubbish. But when it burns off the rubbish, watch out because it don't have capture stuff in it.
And we've been talking about keys, haven't we? Who's got a lockable petrol cap? We've been given the key to take it off.
I'm up for more of that. I'm up for more of that. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for presencing yourself with us, but come in greater and greater power. And if you haven't got your cap off, get it off. What's to lose? Seriously, we're in eternity. We have a God who has created the heavens and the earth, and he wants to pour more of himself into us. What more can we want? Just imagine, other than that, that's it, more of the same. And part of my talk down here, I might even get to the talk, you never know, was to say about when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit. I was in a staid evangelical church. God has his lovely jokes, doesn't he? And the tremendous joy. But then we roll on. And that reminded me that you can stop this if you want. I was in Grapevine, you see, stood there. Come on, pray for me. And everybody, Toronto blessing time, everybody was falling about in heaps. And I was, oh, okay, God, come on, do something. And I got quite annoyed with God. And I remember going out the Grapevine meeting, storming up and down, saying, God, I'm fed up. I do all this work here. I'm putting all these signs up. I'm helping cite the caravans. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. You know. Anyway, when I calmed down, he said, we'll go back. And I thought, oh, I know that. I've done that before. Gone back to the tent and everybody's cleared off. The stewards are clearing up. But I went back to the tent. And they hadn't finished. And God hadn't finished. And okay, I said, okay, God, I give in. I'll go again. And I realised I had to let him have control. And I fell over in a little heap. And oh, the bliss on that occasion of his presence. Oh, yes, Father, you're here. Jill talked about the peace earlier, and it's just, oh, yes. There was a joy, and thinking, yes. And one, you haven't missed me out, Dad, because that was part of the enemy's lies. He was saying, oh, you're not worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You're so worthy, he sent his son to die for you. That's how worthy. When you think of the incredible thing of that, that Jesus sent his son. I've got five kids. I wouldn't want to send any of them. The grandkids either. If somebody said, you can, you know, one's got to go. No way. I can't. But God sent his son. And then I learned a bit more about yielding. I went to a meeting at Retford where Roland Baker was speaking. And we had a good time of worship. And I was stood there with my eyes closed. And I saw Roland wander off that way and he was touching people and people were collapsing on the floor and all that. And I'm thinking, oh, is that going to happen tonight or whatever, you know. There's all this sort of battle going on in your brain. And I got my eyes shut and he got one of his head mics on. So wherever he went, it looked like he was still in the middle of the stage. Because when you got your eyes, all you could hear were the two speakers. And I thought, oh, I saw him touch somebody over there. I'm safe. God had other ideas. The next thing, I just feel this touch on my shoulder. I'm in a heap on the floor, laughing. And I laughed. And I laughed. And then it slowly subsided. And then at that point, I realized I had a choice. I could get up and get back to normal. Or I could stay there and say, okay, God, so I'll have some more. And a friend of mine remarked he'd never seen anybody laugh for the whole sermon. and that's, he was sat behind us somewhere. But that's what God did. And every so often another wave would come. And I got my eyes shut, laid on the floor. And again, because the speaker was, he sounded like he was over there. I realized as he walked up, where I was laid on the floor, the Holy Spirit was somehow, that was the interaction between us, that he stirred us back in to that laughter. And you saw with Nick and Steph this morning, you know, this incredible interaction, because Holy Spirit does that. He loves to stir us together. And if you feel laughter coming on, let it out. If you feel tears coming out, let it out, because the Holy Spirit doesn't say, here is a path and you've got to follow it. That's legalism. He will treat each one of us uniquely. I mean, John Arnott reckons that he was the start of all of this. He's never, ever fallen out in the Holy Spirit and laughed. Last I heard, anyway. You know, that was one of the things. You know, I don't know. He said, I touch people and it all happens to them and it doesn't happen to me. Which I think, oh, well, fair enough. Whatever you've done there. But Holy Spirit was releasing people. He wants us free of religion. He wants us free of all that. And the title, I've got slides and things, but I did have a title, I think, with this talk. I'm not sure. Yes, here we are. It was all about leading somebody else to Christ. I've entitled it Closing the Deal, How to Lead Someone to Christ. And I could go into all the points, but I think the very first thing was, I've written down here, the importance of relationship, not religion. So who, it's not what are we going to share, it's who are we going to share. And that, I went on the internet and to see who's got the, you know, the whatever points, that how can you do this. But when I got on there, one of the salient points was, you could say this prayer all you like, but unless the heart's involved in it, it's just words. And I suddenly, more and more came on me that we're sharing Jesus. And if we're not full of Holy Spirit, that's very difficult to do. Because we start to rely on ourselves. And even this morning, I was thinking, what am I going to say? You know, all the things go through your head. But I opened up the Bible and read one of the shortest sermons. I thought, well, that's good. I've got good company here. Jesus himself in, forget where it is now, written it down somewhere. Anyway, in Mark, I think, Mark 8, somewhere like that. He simply says, he's having a discussion with the Pharisees. Then he calls everybody together. And he says one line, and then he walks off from the crowd. Hang on a minute. He calls everybody together, says he's one line, and disappears. I think about, yeah, and you think, that's a short sermon. He Why did he go to the trouble of calling everybody together to give them one line and then disappear? You know, I think so some versions he gave two lines. The second one was, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And he was in the battle with the Pharisees as usual, because they were doing all their legalistic stuff. And in fact, that is our battle, even our internal battle. We have legalism. It's sort of trained into us somehow. And don't get me wrong, there is a rightness to, you know, you teach kids the right way to go. But at the same time, we need to be free in the Holy Spirit. And I think that's, this morning, I'm tempted to say, well, come on, who wants a fresh touch? I might give me a little talk, but if you want a fresh touch, come on. Let's stand and let's touch each other, whatever. Ask God to move in us in a fresh way. Because I know he wants to do it. And the laughter is one slight thing. It's not that we've all got to laugh. But he wants us to be refreshed, renewed. Because when we go to that bloke in the street and say, "How are you, mate?" Yeah. Suddenly, he's like, "Well, I suddenly feel this laughter welling up within me. What's going on?" He's a normal, never-been-church type person. Because the joy of the Lord is in me, and he's just come on you. And God so wants to know you. He so wants to you to know him, that he's allowing this joy that I have to flow onto you so I can tell you about him. And all of a sudden, all these points that I'm thinking I've got to do fade in, because God has given me that for that unique individual, because we're all unique. There are things to cover. The reason I've chosen this topic was when Robert asked me to speak, he simply said, will you do this, to give him a break, basically, because he had all the Freemasonry stuff to prepare. And so I said yes, and then a friend had challenged me, this same friend actually, who saw me laughing on the floor for ages. We were having a meal together, and he has a nasty habit of doing things like this. A nasty habit is probably a long word, but he simply said, "Hey," he says, "you've got 2 minutes. I want to know how to become a Christian." Okay. I didn't have a timer like you have, you know. I tried to set my own timer. And then he said, "Well, you didn't mention the cross, and you didn't mention this." "Oh, thank you very much." But 2 minutes, then I thought, actually, being real about that, yes, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but is our biblical knowledge good enough for the Holy Spirit to use? See, one night when I had the cancer thing, I woke up about 5 a.m, and it was the enemy whispering, "It's your fault, it's your sin, that's why you've got this." And the Holy Spirit came in and then said, "But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin." And I found myself speaking that out, and all the panic and that dread that had come upon me, in fact, it does it at 5 a.m, if the enemy's going to attack, that's when he does it for me, just melted. And the peace of God, like I'd experienced, laid on the floor, and of course I was already laid, thankfully. And I floated through the next 3 hours. I don't know whether I was asleep or awake, but I know the power of God's word. The power of God's word worked at that point. And I thought, yes, how we need to know. And if we've read the word and absorbed the word into us, not listen to preachers, that doesn't do it. I think it's picking up the word and letting the word, and asking God, even, you think, "God, what's this bit all about? I don't really get it." And I find I don't get a straight answer. You know, I put that on hold. And then, weeks, months, days, all of a sudden, bing. That's what that's all about. And I that's why I love these Bible apps, because you can write notes in about what God says about different verses. And in fact, as I was preparing for here, I was doing the morning reading, and it was full of notes because it's in Mark, and I've got loads of notes, so I thought I could preach from that. Anyway, where were we? Closing the deal. How to lead someone to Christ. I was going to have three topics which said, who, not how, parcel force or DHL, and now, not when, are we ready? And there are other delivery services, by the way. I've got to say that to keep in the law, apparently. So my first topic, virtually covered. You know, it's a who, not how. And actually, even we, somebody once said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Because you are the gospel. Because you contain the Holy Spirit, which makes you just like Jesus. What? Yes, because that's why he filled you with his Spirit. You look at what the apostles did and the early disciples did. It wasn't just apostles. Did miracles, delivered people. Was there even raised them from the dead? Just what Jesus did. And somehow we've lost sight of that. I don't know how we get back to where we walk round like that, with that authority, other than Holy Spirit comes in. And one day he makes us laugh, another day he makes us cry, another day he says, be healed in Jesus' name. Receive that healing. And you're going to stand up and be true, and you're going to be fighting, and you're going to be battling. And we can do that. And I believe here is our practice zone. We practice on each other. We practice giving prophetic words to each other. You feel that word, give it. That person can then tell you, well, actually, that's totally off the ball. Which is highly unlikely, by the way. Or they say, how did you know that? Or, yeah, that's spot on. And you realize you've heard Holy Spirit. But he allows us to control this. So the times I've got to confess, I've sat there thinking, I should say this at this point. No, is it really right? Is it? In fact, it happened at a leaders' meeting not too long ago in Beverly, and I'd got this word came, and I was thinking, oh, is it right? Is it the right place? Holy Spirit sort of mostly kicked me in the side slightly and said, do you normally get words when you're sitting around these meetings? Good point. In other words, you've been giving me this for now. Stand up, get on with it. So, I've got it down there. I'll look. Do you want to share it now? Yep. That's all. I'll hold it for you. Just one.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay, my glasses. Whatever he's saying is just true. Many times we're holding on to what the Spirit of God is asking us to do. I'm sorry if I had to break protocol, but I think there are times when we have to break protocol when it comes to the Spirit of God. I got this earlier, and I was thinking, should I go and interrupt or not? Is the timing right? So he said that I had to get up now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And it says, Hebrews 6 verse 9, but, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Hallelujah. Maybe you could read it again better.
No, that's great. That's great. Go on, read it through again.
Sometimes people are not good in reading it. Anyway, Hebrews 6 verse 9. This is what I got along the line. It says, but, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Amen.
Amen. That's right. We're dealing with that, isn't it? We're speaking wonderful things and Holy Spirit. But that we've got to know that word. We've got to know the word. When it comes to telling somebody, if somebody did say to you, right, okay, tell me, how to become a Christian? What would you say to them? What would you do? What would be your first thought? Well, when I'd prepared this, first thing I realized that I didn't do when I was at this cafe was actually say, Father, help. Pretty good prayer is help. What should I be saying to this person? They've asked. They want to know. And you'll be aware, of course, that most of the sermons we get in the Bible, apart, I mean, Peter's is quite a long one, but when the jailer came to Paul and Silas, what do I do? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your household. That's a pretty quick sermon. Is it theologically sound? Well, yes, it is. Should it have more? Well, Holy Spirit will decide that. And the same, in a way, when Peter preached, even then, you know, he didn't give very much in the way of the ABC of the gospel, we might say it, or ABCD. If you do want a method, I have got that jotted down. You can, if it helps you. But at the same time, Holy Spirit is far better at helping you, even than remembering methods, provided you've read his word. Provided you aware. That doesn't mean to say you need to know the scriptures by memory from start to finish, but you need to know what they say. They didn't have chapter and verse, you see, so when Jesus quoted, he just said, it says in Isaiah. I'm thankful for that because I can never remember verses. Well, I won't speak that over me. I do remember some things, but I'm not one of these who can just trot out verses and say, it's there. That's why I love concordances and things like that. But we do need to be ready to do that. Having said all I've said, I know that people who actually were out witnessing and they got born again while they were witnessing. Pretty good going that, isn't it? One guy... He's just retired, actually. He became a Pentecostal pastor. And he was stood on the library steps in Hull, and he was witnessing. He said, all of a sudden, he said, I realised what I was saying was true. And it reminded me of the years back in one of the revivals, a Cornish pastor, I think it was Cornish Revival, where all of a sudden it said that the congregation couldn't cope anymore because the pastor who was speaking had got converted while he was reading his sermon. And he suddenly realised, and his congregation couldn't cope anymore. He's got born again! And they cheered. So you see, you're right to interrupt. We're here to encourage one another. And the word... Yes, but I've lost what I was going to say now. It's hard to interrupt. Because it says in the scriptures, one will bring a prophetic word. And especially in Corinthians, where they had quite a riot of a time. And they had to say, hey, what, you know, Holy Spirit, you can contain yourself. You know, you don't have to whip off every fancy of the Holy Spirit. You can wait while that guy says his prophetic word well before you give yours. But at the same time, I'd rather have that and the interruptions. You know, it's like we said with children, which is great, isn't it, when you get kids in here now, and you start to get, and yeah, they interrupt, they make noise, but it's a sound of life, it's a sound of the youth, and you think, fantastic, more, more, Lord, more. Well, that was a who, not wow, not who, not whatever I said anyway, who, not how. Parcel 4, so DHL. Basically, does it matter who you choose to deliver a parcel or how it's delivered? The answer is there is a yes to that. You know, like I've said, we pray. We avoid jargon and Christianese if we can. This is part of the thing we do need to train ourselves up in. Holy Spirit will help, and Holy Spirit is the one who will do the main teaching. But, you know, avoid certain terms which are great for us, we know what they mean, you know, but the one I wrote down is, you know, we've come under the blood. What does that mean to the average Joe in the street? Come under the blood? What are they talking about? So we have to make sure that we keep our language relevant. I've got one or two other. Even the word salvation or saved. Saved? What do you mean? Because that's 50, 60 years ago meant a lot. Today, you know, what do they understand by that term? Other than, well, you mean, you know, I've written down here that they used to say, Jesus saves, and somebody says, yes, he uses the Halifax, or whatever, and there are other savings companies. And so those terms have changed. Even repentance, what's it really mean to the Joe in the street? Sin. Might have an understanding of the word sin, but might not. So we do have to learn and think, how can we? And this is where we can encourage one another. I don't have answers to these, other than to know that I've somehow or other, perhaps it is worth that effort of sitting down and writing down, what would I say to somebody who said, I want to get saved? What would I say to them? How would I avoid all the jargonese? Or would I have to explain it as I go along? Which you can do, obviously. But if you get too much explanation, you lose the whole thread of things. It was interesting, though, I came across one lovely phrase I've just seen here, where I said, what do we need to include? We do need to include the need to repent. It's not a gospel of, well, that's it, you're okay, just add Jesus on. In fact, somebody once said, if you ever, I think it's Buddhists, it might be Hindu, they have so many gods, they can just add Jesus on. And obviously they've got to realise now this is a total turnaround. And turn round probably does mean more than repent, but it's the same, roughly the same idea. We need to include resurrection. We need to include that because... I was writing down here, sin against an infinite God requires an infinite sacrifice, which I thought was quite a nice little way of saying it, that's why Jesus had to come, and it had to go on and be effective for the whole of eternity, or infinity. We need to include resurrection, because that is the big sticking point for loads and loads of people. He came back to life? Oh, aye. That's why the guy who wrote a book, Who Rolled the Stone, I think it's called. Is that right? It's Who Rolled the Stone, or Who Moved the Stone. And he found out, as he wrote it because he was going to disprove the resurrection. And thankfully, by the time he finished, he went on to prove it, which was incredible. So he wrote that. And it's, of course, resurrection is what makes Christianity unique. Every other, and please, I hate to lump it with other religions because it's not a religion. It's relationship. And I know you people understand that term of, you know, you've got religion or whatever, but we've actually got relationship. And we really need to hammer that point home when we're speaking to people, that they understand it's relationship, not religion. It's not about going to church every week. It's not about reading the Bible, all that. All important things. But that's not the key aim of it all. And it's how we get that across to people. And I went on to now, not when, and I'm whipping through this far faster than I thought of. But are we ready? It's now, not when. It's been dispatched. Jesus' return. We don't know when, but we do know more and more prophetic words are being fulfilled. So it's now, not when. And I know we're going to do the training on what we will do with new believers when we get them in. That's going to be fantastic. But let's pray we're actually almost doing it live with new believers. And I know that my prayer for me is, come on, Holy Spirit, will you stir me with an urgency to reach those in my street that at the moment I don't always grasp. They're going to an eternity of hell, which is a horrible thought. We very rarely mention hell these days, but it's as real as heaven. In fact, Jesus mentions it quite frequently. And we don't want to frighten people into the kingdom, but on the way we do. That's how I got Yeah, that's how I came in.
I got frightened.
Yep. When I was a youngster, it was like I went to these Christian youth camps and they told us if we didn't get right with God, we'd go to hell. And I thought, don't sound very good. And but I put it off for a few years until eventually I said, I better get this put right. At that time, this shows you how God uses each one of us, though. Because I remember the book came out by J.I. Packer saying, Knowing God. I thought, what's that mean? Sure, it's knowing about God. You know about God. You read about God in his word. And of course, now, no. It is knowing God. And that's what we need to so know him. We know then when he's pleased. I love it when we're worshipping away and I hear him singing the songs back to us. You know, saying, you are my delight. We've just sang that to you. Yeah, but you are my delight, he says. I love you, I love you. I love you, my child. When we say, and time after time, he wants us in that relationship where we know him and we know his power and we know his presence. And it's my encouragement this morning. Yeah, why not? Let's pray for each other. Let's, Steph, if you want to start laying hands on people, if anybody, you heard her laughing, she's maybe got more of Holy Spirit this morning, so go grab a bit. Why not? Here is an opportunity. Let's pray for each other. We're going to have cups of tea and things like that, but let's pray for each other. Let's encourage one another. Let's stir one another. That's what we need to be doing. And look, I'm not pointing fingers, because when you do, 3 point back to you anyway. Because I'm as bad as this, anybody else. But I know that when I get amongst some other folk, we talked about going on into the middle of the night. I started worship with a group the other night at 8 o'clock. We finished at 2 in the morning. Now, I didn't work, we weren't worshipping all that time. There was a talk in the middle of it. But they were still going on at 2 in the morning. The previous month, it had been at 3 in the morning. Went down to this group in Daventry. We started the meeting about 9 o'clock. And we played and we worshipped. Then they started to speak. Then they called me to the keyboard. And that was about 11 o'clock at night. At 2 o'clock in the morning, they finally closed the meeting because God was moving. And I thought, and these same folk, when they say let's pray, they will pray in tongues for an hour, half an hour. They just pray in tongues. And I think, I've got so much to learn on that. I can measure out 2 seconds, well, longer than that now, but you know what I mean? Yeah. but in comparison. But why are we not using these gifts that God has given us? That's our challenge, really, isn't it? Let's pick up what God has given us and use it. And with that, I'll finish.
Salute. Stop and think on that again. For it to all come through. What John's been saying is absolutely spot on. We are in preparation time. So homework for this week, we're not finished here in the service yet, but homework for this week is go home and write down how you would lead somebody. I mean, John's got some points there. I think we should make them available because it's all very well said, yeah, we'll ask the Holy Spirit. But sometimes if we get the stage, how do I start this? Well, if you've got something written down, you can start, then Holy Spirit can take over. Like I said at the other night at the prayer meeting, sometimes the first prayer we have to force ourselves to say. Then Holy Spirit comes in and takes over. But there are times when we've got to show willing first. And likewise for this, we may have to put pen to paper first, then Holy Spirit will say. The other thing I want to say is that another thing to work this time when you're homework, write your testimony in 2 minutes.
Don't write it in 2 minutes, but have it so you can read it in 2 minutes.
Sorry, beg your pardon. Deliver in 2 minutes. This is happening. You say, this is really good, because I know what Steph said. And what's been happening here, she's coming to say something else here. We're interrupting each other. But that's good.
Yeah, well, we've been sat praying and listening to John and what's going on, and I felt Holy Spirit saying, I want to interrupt. I want to interrupt. I am interrupting this morning. It's interrupting by bringing laughter. It's interrupting by bringing a word. This has not been normal today. It isn't usually normal. It isn't usually normal in any shape or form. But he's wanting to interrupt. And I detect there's been a real rattling this morning, because it's almost like they've been disrespectful, laughing in inappropriate places. Oh, Holy Spirit doesn't do this when people are talking. We're supposed to be quiet. And it's almost like I hear Holy Spirit saying, let me interrupt how I want to interrupt. Let me be free to be me. Let me be the one that interrupts in a way that brings freedom, that brings joy, that brings healing, that brings deliverance. And if it's in the middle of Robert's preach, still let me interrupt, because Robert knows what to do with it. And let us start to get out of this normal of, well, we can't interrupt. I will say this, always under the pastors. The pastor's, control. He doesn't control. The pastor, I'll say, pastor's authority. That's the word I'm looking for. I nearly got me own back then for last night, didn't I? Oh, bless. He said something about me always talking. But there you go, you see. There's nothing that agrees with you. But it's back to, will we let him this morning interrupt? Will we let him step in and take over and challenge our norm? If we feel we can't let him interrupt, then get prayer, because it can be fear. It can be anxiety. One of the biggest things that stops us interrupting is, have I got it right? Well, maybe I'm not hearing. Am I okay? How many of us have been sat somewhere and we've got this word mulling, and it mulling, and it mulling, and somebody else stands up and says it? Oh, I had that. Then why didn't you get up? He wants to interrupt us. He wants us to become confident in hearing him. He so loves us. We are so loved. And I love when we get that joy, because you don't know our lives fully and what we go through. And that joy comes and strengthens. We all need that joy to be strengthened. And you know, Holy Spirit wants to interrupt when we walk down the street. He wants to interrupt and say, go talk to that person. Oh, but God, I'm on my lunch hour. God, I haven't got time. I've got to do the shopping. I've got to do whatever. If we would let him interrupt, oh, I think I could miss tea if I saw somebody served in my lunch hour. These all seem silly things, but this is something of him wanting to interrupt. You know, when he comes in revival, when we see it touch earth like that lightning touched earth, when we see that and that break out, he's going to interrupt big style. And I am so grateful to him that he is preparing us in advance to get used to him interrupting. He isn't suddenly going to say, I'm interrupting, that's it. He's getting us in advance. It's almost like we're talking about the minefield. And God put in markers in advance. Don't pick up the key of offence when God moves and we don't like how he moves. Don't pick that up. Be aware of that. Another one is, don't not let him interrupt. Stay safe from that. That's the key. Let him interrupt. Don't pick that key up of, oh, no, I'm going to keep it locked up. God, you can't interrupt my life. If we aren't going to allow him to interrupt our lives, what are we doing here? I'm sorry, that's a bit of a hard word, but it's actually true, because he is the best interrupter I know. I am really bad at interrupting when others are speaking. When you've been with someone a long time, you tend to finish the sentences off for them. That's really That's really bad, isn't it? But it's like he doesn't want us to interrupt him. He wants us to be interrupted by him. However, I do think we can interrupt him in sometimes. When we say, God's sort of going to do something, then we say, but God, could you do that? Because he delights to. He delights to come and enjoy his children. I love it when Daddy comes through Holy Spirit and says, kids, let's have some fun. But we have become so mature that we have. And I thought when you said earlier about religion or whatever, I think we can have faith and be religious too. And it's called a religious spirit. If nothing else today, let him interrupt it. Let Holy Spirit come and interrupt all of our religiosity. Well, we don't do it this way. Oh, but today he has interrupted well, and we do.
It is a challenge. Nobody's pretending it's easy, but it is right and good. And Jesus loves to interrupt. And I love it when he does. If anyone wants a quick ABC of the gospel, shall I just cover that? For homework, I was, strangely enough, I had it in my head to, because I was used to be teaching, I know, to say, how about some homework? But yes, the admit, if the ABC, so if you're making notes, again, this is something, I make notes when I'm listening to a message. Helps me keep awake, seriously, and keep focused on what's being said. Because otherwise your mind often goes off on attack. And it may be excited by what the preacher said and it drifts off somewhere. And about 5 minutes later, it's like, what's he saying? And you come back. Whereas if you're making notes, it helps you to keep. And it also means you can go back. Now, again, this is a personal thing. I found at university, I made notes. I had never looked back at them. But having made them, it helped them stick in my head. So I'd encourage you to do that. But the A, B, C, and I put a D on as well. A, admit. The key there, Romans 3:23, I'm a sinner. And you can add Romans 6:23, because they were one that you suddenly reminded me when I got talking to Irene. I thought, we knew those verses. We trained this years ago to do just the same thing. And all of a sudden, one or two verses pop back up. Anyway, Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. Then the B stands for believe. And you've, of course, got John 14, verse 6 for that. And the C for choose, which is choosing to follow Jesus, choosing to make him your Lord. Matthew 16:24. And then the D, decide, ask for the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13, where Jesus says, if you ask for the Spirit, he won't turn you down. Now that's very brief, and there's a lot more. Sorry. Luke 11:13. And if you go on the internet, you'll find there's quite a lot available. You say, I want to become a Christian. But amazing how many don't include asking the Holy Spirit. So just be wise when you look at those things and ask God again. But that's fantastic. So that gives you a little bit of a start. And so if anybody does want any further notes, I doubt this could help.